Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Let's get into straight into the game, shall we, boys? Manly defeat the Eels 34-30. This was an interesting one because for most of the game, you would have said Manly had it pretty much in control, looked like world beaters, and then the last 10 minutes or so, you thought, oh my God, this is going to be the Cowboys from last year, the Cowboys Manly versus last year. But the Manly Seagulls managed to hold on. I got to say, some of the touches Schuster had, like we spoke about his potential at the start of the year and, you know, what he can bring and how different he is. But if you ever need an example of the unique direction that Schuster can take this club in at six, the weekend was that. Like some of the touches he had were so silky. Now, his game's not complete by any stretch of the imagination. He needs some more game match fitness, you know, defensively sometimes reads. But I just thought Schuster's impact on the game, along with Olakau'atu, who is getting closer and closer to an Origin start this year, he was phenomenal. I thought Schuster and Olakau'atu, for me, were absolutely outstanding. Guru, what do you think about this game?
That moment where Josh Schuster chipped over the top of Guffo.
Insane.
Like, the touch that he had, it looked like it was a helium football. It was perfect. And, you know, I think it's all good and well when you chip over the top. The vast majority of times you get it off the play, the ball, you get to assess what's going on. That was off an offload. Mm-hmm. That was just off the top of his head. And Turbo obviously scored it, but him or Schuster could have scored that one. So, unreal stuff. And, yeah, obviously defensively there's work to be done there with Schuster, but it's early days. He's a special, special talent, isn't he?
As long as he could just, if he keeps a good attitude and training hard, he can be whatever he wants to be. Seriously crazy. Timmy, what do you think about the game?
Yeah, I mean, it was just Schuster being the centre of attention for that game. Some of his moment and ability to square up in attack, you look at what we often refer to halves running direct and squaring up the defensive line, and arguably the best in the game at it is Kieran Foran, who left that spot at Manly on the left edge, and Schuster comes in and, dare I say it, like, in terms of squaring up defences, he could be better. In his first game at 5'8", coming off injury, was freakish. Joey Johns was in commentary at the time, and I've never seen a bloke get more excited about a half squaring up the defensive line. He was about to lose his mind. Mm. 10 minutes in.
Yeah.
And I think the stats aren't going to reflect it at times. I think what we're going to see with Josh Schuster, it wouldn't surprise me if he stays fit this season to be the top try contributions this year, much like Matty Moylan was last year and took us all surprise. Because he does all the hard yards, squaring up in the middle and playing at the back, he plays out the back to Tommy, and Tommy sweeps and he'll get the try assist. But Schuster is going to just rack up a ton of try contributions. And as you said, Kempy, there's a few fitness issues. Defensively, he wasn't very good at times, but I think that'll come. He'll learn being that one further out in the defensive line. Really good signs.
Like, first game back, to have that much of an impact against the grand finalists. Mm. Like, we're forgetting, this guy's like 20 years old. Like, it was an incredible performance. Like, if he had come in and just did his job, we would have been like, great return, good solid for the young fella. He's been out for a while. He didn't just come in and do his job. He came in and did some things that a lot of halves that have been in the comp for 10 years can't do. It's insane. And I would go as far to say as he is, not only is he like good at squaring up, and I think you probably agree to me, he's the best in the comp at squaring up. Right now, small sample size, absolutely no denying it. But the way he can throw a ball out the back, but his whole body is looking directly forward, I think he's the best in the comp at squaring up. Now, he's not, doesn't mean he's the best half, all of that, blah, blah, blah. But at squaring up, I don't think we've... I'm trying to think of a guy we've ever seen that can do stuff like that. And you really... I'm struggling to remember a guy unless you guys know someone that was as good.
You obviously mentioned Foles, and especially in the early parts of his career, he was incredible at it. He still is, but yeah, Schuster, the way that he does it, like you can see how he, like he obviously squares up his man, but he squares up the next two guys.
It's crazy. Well. He doesn't insane. Look. Yeah, he doesn't even need to look to pass it.
Yeah.
Like all jokes aside about the fact that he's actually blind, he doesn't even have to look. That's how silky he is, and he lands it nearly every time. It's mental.
And with those like no look passes, like it obviously it has so much impact, but it's also crazy that it's his first game at 5'8". He's only been in the club, what, 2 years? First grade? Like, it's not like he's playing with guys he's been playing with for 10-odd years or anything. Like, it's just, it's crazy what he's able to do. And I personally think that Cooper John's coming in and killing it in the preseason, the first two games, I think it's the best thing for Schuster.
Yeah, put a rocket up him.
Yeah.
But, like, his biggest challenge will be staying fit. Because, like, it's not talent. It's, you know, the crazy thing with Schuster is, like, usually when you get halves in, there's always this one glaring... not issue, but glaring part of their game that they're going to have to fight for their whole career. And it's usually size, defense, taking it to the line, courage, you know, all of those kind of things. Schuster doesn't have anything to worry about size. Defensive reads, like he can sort that out. If he sorts his defensive reads out, his game is completely, it's already completely rounded. It's like maybe a long kicking game that he might need to work on. But it's just the amount of weapons this kid's going to have in 5 years' time if he can stay on the field. Look how natural he looks now. Imagine in 5 years on the field. Like, it'll be incredible.
And the bloke that he was squaring up a lot of the time, Mitchy Moses, he could take a note from me, like, because, you know, Mitchy, who loves crabbing across field and bringing blokes under, and that's all fine, but at times, you know, we've obviously been critical of him saying he doesn't square up enough to have it happen on him in front of him from a rookie. So, like, he could take a bit of note from that.
Yeah, for sure. And that's, like, one knock on Mitchell Moses' game is, like, because I think Mitchell Moses is 100% sorted his D, but sometimes when they start chasing points, he'll just start getting too lateral. I think it's more, rather than being... you know, a bad part of Mitchell Moses' game, I think it's just his competitiveness. He gets in these moods where he's just like, I need to find points. But on the flip side of that, when you look at Mitchell Moses, when they needed those like tries in the last 10 minutes, he went into that mode and it all worked for him. But yeah, back to the Manly Seagulls. Schuster for me is just, again, it's as long as he can get his head right, and his head seems to be right, as long as he can train hard and stay on the field, he will be playing in Origin.
And the beauty of Schuster is as well, like, because he's playing with such a ball-dominant seven, he can just focus on his little things.
Yeah.
Doesn't have to be the main voice. He doesn't have to organise. He can just focus on his little things and getting them right. It'll be interesting to see, like, what's Chez probably got, we reckon, 3 years left?
Yeah, I mean, you don't know these days, eh? Because they're bloody playing until they're 1,000.
That's fair. But, like, I think whatever, like, I don't think it could be more than 5 years, for example.
Oh, yeah, for sure, for
sure. By that point, you would be hoping that Josh Schuster would really be starting to come into his own then. Like, it could all time really well for Manly.
It's interesting. Would you put him in a seven? Like, make...
Oh, no, I wouldn't. Like, you still have to go out and find a seven, but I think that there would then be sevens in 5 years' time that if he reaches his potential, they'd be going, fuck, I'll take unders to play with Schuster.
Yeah, yeah. And also, like, they won't need to go find someone to get points because he'll be able to get the points.
He'll be able to.
It's more just like a Townsend, a Renault.
And you'll be going to the market going, who wants to play with Schuster and Trbojevic?
Yeah. Olakau'atu as well.
Yeah.
How old's Olakau'atu? 23? How far off do you reckon Schuster? I reckon he's two seasons off Origin.
He's two consistent seasons off Origin.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Like two full seasons, I think gets a bench spot.
Olakau'atu is 24.
Yeah. So young.
I think if Schuster plays at 80% of his best for the next 2 years, he's right in that conversation for sure.
What do you reckon, Timmy?
I think, yeah, potentially next season, just because of his versatility on the bench, like... Don't have to talk about him as a starter, but his utility value on the bench, why not next season?
Like, you could literally chuck him in the front row. Like, that's how big he is. Because he's, what, 100 and... I think he's 105 to 110 kilos?
106, says he.
106 kilos.
The one thing is, it's like versatility isn't a thing the Blues are lacking, but you can also never have enough of it and enough utility value in your bench. But gun 5'8", gun second rower, and can absolutely be your ball playing lock. Not that the Blues need it, but, you know, say we've got Mario's out and then one of them gets injured.
Yeah.
Just another ball playing lock slots straight in. So he's perfect.
Yeah. So you just got to, again, it's for Schuster, it's not about talent. It's not about being able to deliver it. It's just about keep training hard, keep his mind right. He can literally do whatever he wants to do.
I think he grabbed his calf at one point throughout this game. Have we heard anything more about that?
I think it was just a cramp. Usually when they're stretching like that, it's a cramp. When you tear your calf, you're not usually stretching it like that. But NRL physio, the great NRL physio, make sure to give him a follow, guys. Gives all the updates on injuries over the weekend, and it's a really good insight. Like, it's immediate, and also he basically tells you how long your player's going to be out for, and he's like pretty much accurate all the time.
Incredibly accurate.
Incredibly accurate. Even when sometimes the other mail comes out that, you know, oh no, that's not the case, NRL physio is usually right. So give him a follow. But he said the only thing is sometimes a cramp can re-aggravate an old calf strain.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Jesus.
But he said, like, the implication I got from the post was that's a small possibility, but it is a possibility. I think he'll be fine. Again, hopefully, just needs to work on his match fitness. You know, you don't want to be doing that every single week, you know, cramping and rah-rah. But yeah, Schuster was incredible. And I know it's early days for him, but I think he's proven by now. He's crazy year at back row. Now he started the year off really well at six. It's all up to him. His future is in his hands, in no one else's hands.
Fullback went all right too.
Yeah, Tommy Turbo.
Tackle breaks, feel like he's in first gear still. It's terrifying. I know.
It's incredible. But let's talk about Olakau'atu. Mm. Holy, he was phenomenal. What about his hit on Wiramu Greg? Him and Aloyo.
Oh.
Like, what? Like, they're not shotting, you know, little halves and that. They're going after the big boys. Who was it? Yeah, last week, it was Kikau. It's like, when I see back rowers doing that, like, there's some players that will just, you know, they'll go for shots and it might happen to be a center or a seven, a six or whatever. When I see a wide running forward hunting the biggest blokes on the field, there's not many players right now in the NRL that do that, that go hunting the biggest players.
I was watching this game live up in Rockhampton, then I had to go pick these two up from the airport. So I missed about half an hour of it or so. And I got to the end of the game and I had a look at the stats and I thought, oh, Kouatu, 15 tackles, that's low for him. And I watched it back the next day. They were running away from him.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to run.
They weren't going near him.
No, he was phenomenal. He was phenomenal. I really, what do you guys think of Olakau'atu's game?
Yeah, really good. I obviously scored those tries in the back end. That was very, very handy there. But still, you know, 10 runs, 130 metres. I actually thought outside of the tries, it felt like it was a slightly quieter game than usual from him. But this is just what you come to expect to this guy. And, you know, as just, you know, the two tries, he's just got X factor that you can't coach. You
can't. And he's coming into his own. He seems so confident, impacting every game he's played this year. It's just,
yeah. Hates scoring a try off a kick.
Oh, hates it.
We talk about Nanai doing it. Geez, big Ola scores a try off a kick.
Loves it.
And that's effort areas, isn't it? Just pushing through all the time.
Just giving you six or your seven some options. Mm. Like, so often we see some out wide running forwards where they go, oh, well, my job is to tackle heaps and run lines. Mm. And they just kind of put their hands up when it comes to attack. Whereas Olakau'atu is constantly like, whatever, how I can impact this game. What can I do in attack, in defence? I thought he was good. I also think Tuilagi has been really good as well. You know, statistically, you don't notice it because he's not putting up crazy stats. But I think he just adds this extra punch on the other side where you don't have to just only worry about Olakau'atu. You've got to worry about him as well.
There's little things that he does, though, that catch your eye.
Yep, for sure.
He's just got really nice little touches throughout the game.
I think he's been already proven to be a solid buy. I mean, you know, I feel like they're the punching bag, but wouldn't you be stoked to be him at Manly, winning rugby league? You know, Tigers at the moment struggling. Paseka, I thought he was really good at this, especially opening the match, like as in the beginning of the match. Who else stood out for you boys? We'll talk about Tommy. Two tries, a try assist, 204 metres, 10 tackle breaks, a line break assist, an offload. Like, and as you said, Guru, I think the bloke's not even in. He's not even at 100%.
Oh, mate, he's nowhere near 100%. I'd say he's at about 70 at the moment.
We've never seen anything like it.
Yeah, I think it's fair. He's like nothing we've ever seen before. And even like you talk about other guys that you put in this category, you know, your Haynes, your Barbers, these sort of guys, like we talk about them when they're at their best. He is nowhere near his best right now. And like, yeah, yes, Parramatta, they haven't started the season incredibly well. They're the grand finalist.
Yeah, like, and also Tommy's done it against anyone.
He's done it against
the Warriors, only team I don't think he has torn apart is the Storm. That's it. Every other team is
better play Origin this year. I'll tell you that much.
Be interesting to see if he'll get picked this year in Origin. I don't know if he's made it, mate. Just being honest, I think he's got to earn his spot back. Up in Queensland, we'd make him earn his jersey. That's the problem with New South Wales. Don't make him earn the jersey, mate.
Oh,
what about him and Giraldi? I don't know if we'll pick our guy. We'll see. We'll see.
I know. And I also loved it in that live show at Rocking. We were chatting Origin. We were chatting centres. And they're like, oh, you know, Gagai has been battling a little bit at times. Just saying, do we throw a hammer in at centre? A few others. Me and Guru, mate, just sitting there going, Latrell and Tommy Turbo on these blokes.
Absolute porkies. We said we'd definitely give Gagai. We're loyal. We said give him game one for sure. Anyway, it's all right. Underestimate us at your peril. At your peril. What do you think about Tommy, Timmy?
Freak. And the other one I wanted to touch on, probably not his best game statistically speaking as such, but Ruben Garrick is just becoming such an elite winger of the NRL. He just doesn't make a mistake. He can slot in at fullback seamlessly when required, which at Manly can be quite often. Finishes just about every time. Gun goal kicker. Mead reader, not his biggest meterage yardage in this game, but he's running for, you know, 200 plus metres most weeks. It's a shame, Origin-wise, that we're so stacked for wingers, but man, Ruben Garrick is becoming just one of the best wingers in the NRL, I think.
He's so consistent.
Like,
when it comes to consistent wingers, like, he'd have to be in the top five.
For sure.
Surely. Yeah. Like, he's so consistent. I'm trying to remember the last bad game he had. I think it was like last year and his knee was completely fucked. He shouldn't have been playing, but they had no players. Outside of that, like, I can't remember the last time Garrick, we watched a game and at the end of the game we're sitting there going, man, Garrick was pretty bang average today. He is, and he's a battler.
And if anything, when he moves to fullback, he gets more consistent.
Mm. And there's, you know, there are several players ahead of him that will be picked on the wing for the Blues, but he could slot in there seamlessly, I think, and be so reliable for Freddie and the Blues. I'd love to see him get a crack one day, but I can easily see it being a bit of a case of Jared Croker, who could have played Origin his whole career but was just off it. Garrick could be in the same sort of mould, but I tell you, so he wouldn't look out of place.
Yeah, Manly, another good win. Jake Trbojevic, I thought he was fantastic again. I think that Jake Trbojevic is starting to kind of find his spot in the team. I think he's pretty much transitioned fully away from the ball playing.
Yep.
Lock that he was maybe 4 or 5 years ago. For young fellas or girls that watch the game now, or even newcomers to the game, they'll only see Jake as like a tackle machine, a front rower that just gets through a bunch of good, solid work. But, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, he was the best ball-playing lock in the comp.
Yeah.
Like, literally. I think there was a couple of years there where he was hovering between not really, is he still that guy or is he the guy that needs to get through the hard yards? I think he's kind of fully stepped into the role of, okay, you can still ball play at times,
yeah,
but he stepped in the role of like, okay, I get through the grunt work for my team.
Well, I sort of felt like before Jess Hasler arrived, this is sort of who he was. And then Hasler changed his game a little bit to be that ball player, but he went too far down the route of a link man and they weren't utilising the skill set that he has. So I think he's in a real sweet spot at the moment, Jakey.
It's a good point you make, Guru. It's like, there's a difference between a ball player and being a link man, isn't it? I mean, they obviously tie in together, but a link man is play in the middle, give good service as the middleman between your two halves. But, you know, when we talk about ball player, we've seen him put Tommy Turbo in particular through gaps his entire career, particularly in the early days, and that's his ball playing ability, isn't it?
Yeah, and he's so good at picking his moments too.
Oh, mate.
That's the thing that's undervalued about him.
Remember, we were in like, what, 4 years ago? And like, he was, his ball playing was like phenomenal.
Yeah.
Phenomenal for the big fella. But yeah, you're right. I think he has found this perfect sweet spot now where he knows how he can contribute to a side. It's interesting because, you know, for so long we've been speaking about you need a ball playing lock, you need a ball playing lock. Manly don't really have, they don't really play like that. I think maybe it's because Chez maybe is so dominant and also obviously got Tommy through the middle there that picks up a lot of slack, I guess.
And you go, you look at Gerbo and say, job one, first and foremost, truck it up, take the hard carry, as opposed to the last couple of years where it's been said, pass the ball, you're a link man. But when you chuck it up, mate, take your boy, take Tommy Turbo on your inside shoulder and just hold it up, because there'll be a lot of tries come off the back of it.
I think Sean Kepi's been pretty good the last couple of weeks too for him. He gets on and just gets through a mountain of work. Now, onto the Eels. It's getting concerning. Very concerning because who do they play this week?
They got Penrith this week into the Roosters.
And they're both coming off byes.
Yeah. They Easter Monday, they play the Tigers. I reckon there's a good chance you have two 0-5 teams going head-to-head there.
Wow. Yeah, let's talk about the Eels. Like, it's, again, it's this defence for them, like, leaking so many points. Like, where, I just want to know, like, what has changed? They used to be, last year, like, not that long ago, they were so aggressive and good in defence. Like, if anything, there were periods in their game where they couldn't put points on. Remember when they went, I think it wasn't last year, but the year before, where they just, like, couldn't find points. And we were sitting here going, they need to find a strike centre because they struggle. They need a strike player out in their outside backs because they're just struggling to find points. Now, they can find points, you know, whenever they want, pretty much. But it's the leaking of points that's it's really, really concerning. I'm a bit concerned for the Eels. I really am. And, I know last year it was, like, back them to the death, rah-rah. But that's because I'd seen them early in the year beat some of the top-tier sides.
I mean, this is 3 weeks in a row of 4-point losses, which, you know, they're in the contest, but I think this competition is going to be so close this year that giving away a start like this to other teams, I reckon it's going to be tough to rein back in.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. And, I mean, when I have a look at this Parramatta side, the spots that I was a little bit worried about, the edges, I think Cartwright's done really well. Dory obviously got injured on the weekend, but I thought he was doing well. Hodgson was another worry for me. He's done unreal. Like, a lot of the problems they had, I think they have solved them pretty well on the field.
Mm.
Still just not getting the results.
Well, and like, yeah, okay, they've got players to come back, for sure. But we don't excuse the Storm when we go, oh, you know, they've got all these players to come back. It's like, they're supposed to be a powerhouse now. They're not the Eels from 5 years ago. They're the Eels that have been top four, essentially, for the last 4 or 5 years. They were in a grand final last year. Yes, they lost two edge back rowers, but they should come in and, they should at least have one win over the first three games. Now, I'm not saying the whole year is over for the Eels, but I do think it's concerning. I do think it's concerning. Timmy, what do you reckon?
Yeah, and you see blokes like Jermaine Hopgood just throwing these willy-nilly offloads late in the game and game on the line and essentially costing Parramatta victory. Guru, who's sat here for 2 years saying he's God's gift to the NRL, and he goes and throws that shit, mate.
Oh, you came off the back fence, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. Jaman.
He's giggling to himself on the way in the car. That was a tough pill to swallow. God, I copped it.
Yeah.
Far out. So, it's a guy throwing an offload when you're behind on the scoreboard.
I know.
Fuck me.
And the message just came through about, he said he never throws a bad offload. They were down by, was it 4 or 6 at the time, a couple of minutes on the clock, chasing the game. It was like, it was nothing in it.
But also, it's like, okay, are we going to forget the 80 minutes, the 80 minutes, and the 80 minutes that he was fucking phenomenal? We're going to forget that. We'll just look at one offload.
The answer is yes.
Yeah. On the internet, yeah, for sure. There's so many people that were sitting there going, yes, I can give it to Guru for being wrong about Hopgood. Look.
Hope he doesn't do it in Origin anyway.
Well, actually, you would hope he does do it in Origin.
Yeah. I mean, if he's there, that'll be a big enough win for me. But anyway.
So... to the Eels, I'm just look. I do think that they will bounce back, and I think they'll bounce back. Well, against the Penrith Panthers this week, but they've got, you know, bringing Lane back, bringing Madison back. So I'm not sitting here saying that they're not going to make the eight or whatever, but it is starting. I'm starting to get a bit concerned. They drop too many too early, and then like, what happens if they get a couple injuries when the boys get back? And it's just the points. So what was it last week? 30-plus points last week. 34 points this week. You know, we looked at the Storm. The Storm have gone back-to-back losses. So that first game, even more so, the Eels should have beat them.
And the Storm did everything they could possibly do in the last 15 minutes to lose that game.
Yeah, so you
just weren't able to ice it.
It's, some positive is I thought Dylan Brown was outstanding. 167 metres run, 23 runs, 23 tackles, zero misses. Like, you know, I think that's an incredible knock. It's interesting because, like, you look at their halves, and Mitchell Moses, I don't think he's playing poorly at all. Like, I think he's playing decent footy. Now, sometimes the problem with Moses is it's like he fades in and out of game sometimes. And, like, when you need him to, like, just take the game by the reins, sometimes he just, I don't know, like, maybe the game plan is to get to certain spots and he's sticking to the structure too much, or maybe he's not sticking to the structure enough. But it's just the fact that, like, I'd consider Mitch Moses a top-tier half now. And I just think that maybe even Moses of last year probably ices at least one of these games. So, but then you look at it, your stats, he's got the try assists, he's got the tries, he's got the line breaks. But when you're the main guy and, you know, you're going to be on the biggest contract, unfortunately, the result starts and ends with you.
Yeah, the halfback.
Which sucks, and it's unfair sometimes when you're playing mad, but he's the guy. He got him to a grand final. Yep. You know, so when he gets him to a grand final, you give him the wraps. But when they go 0-3, you got to go, well, you know, unfortunately, something has to improve.
Yeah, that's the halfback's job at the end of the day. Yeah, and as you said, you know, got him to a grand final. Even if it wasn't his performances that got him there as the halfback, he'd still get the applaudance for it. Mm. Same's got to go the other way. Can I ask you a question? Ryan Madison. We've been having this argument for 2 weeks. If he comes back this week, and the injury to Matt Dorey might force the hand, to be fair now, but would you have brought him back on an edge or through the middle?
On an edge.
Yeah?
Yeah. Well, they're just scoring so many points against him. Like, and I'm not saying it's the edge's faults, but, like, he's definitely not going 13. Jermaine's got that spot.
I can see him coming off the bench and playing through the middle. I really can.
Fuck. Do you reckon they can afford that right now? They're 0-3.
I think he plays 80 on the edge.
Yeah, I reckon he's on the field as long as possible.
Yeah.
I just don't think they got the stock to afford that anymore. Whereas, like, last year they had Papali'i, they had Lane on one edge. I just don't know if they can afford it.
I just don't know how much longer they can keep playing their two starting front rowers for 60 minutes straight.
And that's
it's outrageous.
Yeah, you need, obviously, the punch off the bench and coming through, and then boys go off. But they're obviously playing big minutes. But how does a forward pack look of Campbell, Gillard and Boyle up front, Lane and Maddow on the edges, Hopgood at lock, Hodjo at nine? I know there's players who need to come on after that, but they're all big minute players. That's like close to the best pack in the comp.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. So, yeah, I reckon you put him on edge. Hopgood, you got to keep at 13, even though it was probably one of his more quieter games on the weekend. As in not quiet, but, you know, I think his two games before that, he was outstanding. This playing Junior Paolo for 66 minutes, what? I don't get it. Like, even if... What I'm not understanding is like, even if you've got no backup or whatever, or you don't trust them, surely you look at it and you go, well, it's a long season, because if I gas Paolo and RCG out now, there's no way I'm going to make a finals push.
He played the most games of any player last year.
I don't understand it.
He's got to play Origin in 8 weeks' time, and they're pushing him through for these sort of minutes. It's outrageous.
And even if the big fella, Junior, like, he probably wants to stay out there, but it's the coaching staff, in my opinion's job, to protect the players from themselves. Every player would want to stay out there forever.
They're all too tough for their own good. You've got to make the best decisions for them.
66 minutes for a big bopper like Paul. Like, are we forgetting how... Like, Junior Paolo is considered a big bopper. You know, like, if he was playing 40 minutes, you'd go, yeah, I can see that. Now, you know, it's a credit to him because he's, you know, one of a kind, unique big bopper that can play these big minutes. But this early in the year, 66 minutes, what's his minutes been each game?
He went 68, 57, 66.
Fuck.
How much of a lack of faith does that show in the forwards coming off the bench? Like, we have to play you big minutes every week. Momosia, Murchie, Greg, Makatoa had 18 minutes, 34, 14 and 27, which was more than previous weeks. Matt Dury obviously left the field early, so there would have been extra minutes there probably to Momosia. But what's it say about your bench?
This is what says to me that I would play Maddo through the middle. Because you look at last year, you know, all their games, as soon as that 20-minute mark hits and he puts Maddo on, like, there was times there where as soon as there was a sim meeting or something, he would put Maddo straight in the middle, straight away. He relies on him through the middle. He can't keep on doing what he's doing. It seems evident to me he doesn't trust any of those guys that are on the bench.
You know, the more you talk about it, the more you're convincing me, Guru.
Could you... after 20 minutes when, say, Bolo or Kemba Gillard goes off 25 minutes, could you then shift him to the middle there and bring an edge on?
Well, you've got Jack Murchie. Play him on the edge.
And Dury's been all right. Is Dury injured?
Yeah, yeah, I think it was a PCL on the weekend.
Fuck me. They are in absolute Barney rubble. Yeah, the more you talk about it, like, I'm trying to think, yeah, you need Madison on the field as much as possible, but what's more important, your two front rowers getting a fucking spell or, you know, Madison being on an edge? Maybe it is more important to go, okay, Junior, you don't have to play 66 minutes this week. You don't have to play 55 or 50.
And I agree with both of you. I think Maddo's a mad edge player. I love him there. I think it's his better spot, but I think in this team, they need him more in the middle.
It's surprising because, like, I feel like they haven't really future-proofed themselves very well. They haven't prepared for being rated. And look, that's easy for me to sit here and say. They've come all the way from Spoon up to top four. But when you look at, like, the current situation they're in, they lose two back rowers and they're not short, but it's a big issue for the club. You know what I mean? They don't trust their front rowers that are coming in to replace them.
And they've got the absolute best out of Bryce Cartwright so far, I think. Like, imagine if they didn't, which I probably didn't think they would.
Yeah.
Like, there's been a lot of things that have gone their way as well that they've made work, and there's still a lot of issues there. Like, yeah. I think, Makatoa played 27 minutes on the weekend. It's the most minutes he's played. I thought he was great last year.
He was great. He was impact. He was almost unreal. Like a Villy for the Rabbitohs.
But it's like he's gone off him completely.
Yeah, it's tough. I don't see a world where you can be playing Regan, Campbell Gillard and Junior Polo that many minutes this early on in the season. They don't need that many minutes. And it's not going, like, they're human. Eventually they'll fatigue.
Junior's a front row forward who's, like, he's played 200 games now.
Oh, man.
His body has been through a lot. He's going to be a rep footballer for the rest of his career. He's going to play more footy than most.
He, like, led Samoa to a grand final.
And he's playing him for 60 minutes, essentially, when it's summer. Like, what is going on?
Another thing as well, I want to know what their outside back depth is like, because Wonga Blake and Bailey Simonson, unfortunately, just...
Pretty good.
I thought you were saying they played pretty good.
Yeah, no, like their depth, they've got it there.
Because they've got Sinny.
Zach Sinny was really good in the preseason. Unfortunately, they lost Sean Russell.
Yep.
Hayes Dunster can sort of slot in there as well.
Assi's available now too.
Assi. So they've got options.
Yeah.
Well, what are your thoughts about... Blake and Simonson?
I've always had issues with Blake, to be honest with you. I've always said I think Blake's a better athlete than he is a footballer. If I was playing Parramatta, he'd be a spot that I would target most weeks.
Timmy?
He's very similar to Guru, I think. Yeah.
So much potential.
I'm not convinced. So much potential, but we've been saying that for so many years, haven't we?
Oh, for sure. Sure. I love Wonga Blake. I love the way he plays in regards to when he's on. He's so exciting to watch, so athletic. But just too many errors and missed tackles. And, you know, last week, Bailey Simonson, I think he dropped, like, how many balls he dropped? Three?
Yeah, fair whack, yeah.
And Bailey Simonson's another one. When he's on, he gets through a bunch of work, heaps of tackle breaks. But unfortunately, unfortunately these boys this year just haven't been at their best. That's why I wonder, what is their depth like? Because it may do them well to sit and, you know, to go to reserve grade, get their confidence back, and then come back into first grade. And I know it's hard to hear that as a player. You know, I fucking heard it. I was in reserve grade a lot, so I heard it all the time. But sometimes it really is best to just go back, enjoy footy. The pressure's not on you as much. Just get back to loving footy and confidence in the way you play. Because Wonga Blake and Bailey Simonson, we'd all agree, they're first graders. Correct?
Yeah, like, yeah, for
they're
sure.
First raters, for sure. But it's just about making sure that they're confident in what they're doing. And I think at the moment, they're just struggling for that self-confidence.
Assi played his first game back on the weekend, I believe, at centre. Scored a try, as did Zach Sini, as did Hayes Dunster, to be fair. So, a few options there.
Do you think that they'll probably make some changes there this week?
I don't think so.
Wow.
But I don't think they're far off.
What do you reckon, another week or two?
Going up against Penrith, tough gig to bring in.
Yeah, young fellas.
Sini, Assi, Dunster.
Tell you what, Bailey Simonson's going to be doing catch and practice all week Nathan Cleary is going to be fucking...
Well, was it the grand final or the semi-final where Nath just peppered?
Yeah.
Semi.
Semi,
it was Wonga Blake.
Fuck, he'll be stoked he's playing centre.
Yeah, he's gone. Thank God.
And that's with all due respect. I remember talking to Roger Fabre a couple of years. I don't know if I ever mentioned it, but I asked him one day, who's the fastest? And I rattled off, yeah, I don't car these guys. And he straight away went, the fastest guy I've ever coached, I think this was before Jason Sarr, to be fair, he said was Wonga Blake. He said that he naturally has the best technique of anyone he's seen before. Yeah. Which is unbelievable.
Yeah, so hopefully they can bounce back. If not, like, let's say they continue to struggle for confidence or whatever, you know, maybe a game or two or three or four in reserve grade, get the confidence back and then be all that, you know, the players we know they can be.
If they come out of Penrith and Roosters 0-5, can they make final?
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, with Cowboys and Sharks starting the year so poorly, all of a sudden there's some spots in that top. You know, Raiders, although they got the win, have started relatively poorly as well. You know, some spots have opened up in that. Like, really only Broncos are the team outside the eight that have shot into, you know, top four contention. On top of that, you know, I still have the Storm in my eight, but there's a... It's looking tough.
But I also think spots have opened up because so many teams have improved. So many better teams. Like, I reckon it's going to be very, very hard to make finals this year if you start 0-5. Gonna be one hell. Like who, they've got Matter to come back in Sean Lane. Is that it?
Yeah, I think like, so.
And two quality players. Don't get me wrong, but it's a lot to chase, especially once you hit the Origin series and your two front row forwards that are playing 60 minutes aren't going to be there for 6 weeks.
How good is the NRL so far this year? Six of the top eight didn't play finals last year. I know it's very early on, but there's a small sample size. Six of the eight didn't play finals last season. The top four didn't play finals last season. It is so wide open.
Oh, it's so good. So good. Oh, man, if they go 0-5, look, they can still make the eight, but, geez, it's going to be tough. Like, yeah. Oh, my God, chasing – what are you chasing, 10 points? Oh, yeah, 10 points.
Yeah, I mean, considering their defense at the moment, which teams would you be confident in saying Parramatta beat next weekend in this comp at the moment?
Yeah, well, none really.
Like Tigers, outside of that, there's no one else.
But Tigers would probably get up for them because it's probably the Battle of the West. Yeah. Kind of thing.
But like other, like there are no teams that I'm confident in saying Parramatta would beat.
Yeah, mate, it's a tough start for the Eels. You would have thought they could have dragged one. I think like if they opened the season and went 2 from 3, I think that's a massive win. Take that, run with it.
If they go 1-4, I think that's a win, honestly.
But right now, spot they're in and out, they just got to get jag one win somehow, some way. Otherwise, geez, it's going to be tough. Hopefully they bounce back, though. It was really cool to be on that ride last year. Really, really cool.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like worried of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.